Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the purpose of the church. We've talked about how this is God's idea, right? This is not man's idea. We talked about in Matthew 16 how Jesus gave the vision for his church, and although sometimes over history man has gotten off track, the vision from Christ still remains to be accomplished. We talked about the power of community, what we find there, and how it's so important, and how as a Christian we can't do this alone. It was never meant to be a solo thing. We talked about last week how God is building something. God is a builder. He's a creator. And he's building a people. He's building a church. So if we choose to, we can be a part of what God is building. So as we continue this series talking about the purpose of the church, I want to talk to you about protection and victory. Say that with me. Protection and victory. Jesus was walking with his disciples and they entered the city of Caesarea Philippi. And he posed this question in Matthew 16, 13 through 18. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Right. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. When we look at that passage of Scripture, we look at what Jesus said, we see both a defensive and an offensive part to what Jesus promised. Jesus is building a church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. It's defensive in nature, but it's also offensive in nature. It's defensive in nature because Jesus is saying whatever the enemy throws at the church will not be able to overcome it. Right. Nothing will be able to conquer what God is building. We've seen this historically, even when the Roman Empire directly opposed Christianity, even when the emperor himself was gathering up Christians and executing them in the Colosseum, he couldn't extinguish the church. Jesus said, not even the gates of hell will be able to conquer it. So there's been lots of people groups throughout history, even governments, that have tried to come against God's church, but have failed. For 2,000 years, different groups, different governments have tried to stop the church and have failed. They haven't succeeded. Jesus prophesied not even the gates of hell would conquer his church. And that means anything and everything all the way leading up to the greatest power of wickedness, which is the power of hell itself, will not be able to conquer God's church. What a powerful thing to become confident in. We have a confidence in God's promises. No matter what the devil throws at the people of God, he will not be able to overcome them. I hope that excites you. That excites me to know I have confidence in the promises and the protection of God. No matter what the status of our culture is, it will not bring the church down. It doesn't matter how many people groups or how many governments come against the church, they will not win. Jesus said it. Jesus prophesied it. Rome tried to stamp it out. Communism tried to stomp it out. Several countries have tried to stomp it out. Some places in the Middle East have outlawed it. In some places in Africa, they try to hunt down and eliminate churches. But God's church still remains. Why? Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. In America, some try to silence the church, but every other kingdom will pass away. Only the kingdom of God will remain. In the end, governments will rise, governments will fall, But God's government will endure forever. How many believe that? God's church will never fade away. So it's defensive in nature with respect to what Jesus said. And I want to make this important statement, and that is, if you want the protection that God promises the church, you have to be a part of the church.
Right.
I'll say it again. If you want the promises that are assigned to the church, you have to be a part of the church. If you want the protection that rests on the church, you have to be a part. Jesus said the gates of hell will not conquer the church. And I'll tell you, in contrast to that, I've seen many solo acts over the years be overcome by temptation and sin and what the devil throws their way. I've seen them fall victim to the attack of the enemy. God says, though, Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail. So sometimes people can have, in our culture, can have a misunderstanding of the vision of Christ, or just have an internal rebellion to the vision that Christ, and so they have isolated themselves from the church and now find themselves in a vulnerable position with the enemy. There is protection in community. There is prayer for one another in community. There is covering from leadership in community. There's power in community. There's safety in community. Do you remember when you were younger and maybe you got separated from your parents in the mall or in the clothing store and you got scared and you felt alone and you felt vulnerable and you didn't feel safe? That's the place that the devil wants to keep us at. He wants to keep us isolated and feeling alone and feeling uncovered and feeling unsafe. That's what he wants. The devil wants to disconnect us, and God wants to connect us. God wants to connect us to others that belong to him. God wants to connect us to a family in faith. God wants to connect us to the body of Christ. God wants to connect us. The devil wants to disconnect us. And we can look at nature and we can see this also. The ones that are in danger are the ones that fall behind or become isolated from the herd. Who is in the most vulnerable position to the predator? The one that is disconnected from the herd. Why? Because in the herd, there's discernment. Hey, what's going on over there? Hey, I think I heard something rustling over there. And there is safety in being together. So the devil, the Bible says, the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeing who he may devour, right? 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So when we're not in community, we become easy targets for the enemy.
Right.
He's already on the prowl. He's already looking. So when we get isolated from community, it's a dangerous place. People that are separated from community or have allowed life to cause them to fall behind are the ones that get picked off by the predator of your soul, which is the devil. We can see it in nature. We can see it in the realm of the spirit. So make sure that you understand what we're talking about when we say the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell can prevail against individuals. So that promise applies to the church. That promise does not apply to lone rangers. It applies to community in unity. God's promises to the church belong to the church. So we see that there's a defensive nature about Jesus' statement. But there's also an offensive statement that is implied when we look at this passage in Scripture. Upon this rock, I'll build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus is saying, I'm going to build a church and not even the gates of hell will conquer it. If you're not conquered, then you're undefeated. The implication of not being conquered is that you have won.
Right.
That you are the conqueror. So if you haven't been conquered, you're undefeated. If you don't lose, then you're the winner by default. Now, in athletic games, you can have a tie. You could have a 1-1. You could end with a 2-2, a 3-3 in football, a 7-7, 14-14. But in the spirit, it doesn't work like that. Either you win or you lose. There's no ties.
That's right.
There's no stalemates. In the spirit, either you win or you lose. God's people either win or they don't win. God's promises to His people is that we win. God's promises is that the devil loses in the end. How many know the scripture says in the end,
yes,
the devil loses. God's people win. So it can look a certain way in our culture. It can feel a certain way in our emotions. But the truth is that we win. In the end, we win. And so what's implied when Jesus says, not even the gates of hell will conquer the church, is that the church will conquer the gates of hell. Scripture says, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall contemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. There's going to be a lot of weapons in the course of your life. There's going to be a lot of weapons as we, as the church, as a community, are doing what God has called us to do. There's going to be a lot of weapons that form against us. But the Bible said they're not going to prosper. There's going to be a lot of strategies that the devil employs, but they're not going to work. There's going to be a lot of wickedness in certain seasons stirred up against God's people. But in the end, it's going to come to nothing. God says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. David said this about the Lord in Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. God is going to take care of His people. I want you to think about that like a Thanksgiving feast. God is going to pull up a table before you, in the presence of your enemies. He's going to set a banquet. He's going to set a Thanksgiving feast in the middle of all of your adversaries, in the middle of all of the circumstances that have come against you. He's going to anoint your head with oil. Your cup is going to overflow with goodness. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us.
Yes.
He's going to cause His people to win in big ways. Who is more than a conqueror? Is it you? That's a trick question.
Yes.
No, it's us. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. See, there's power in community. There's power in teamwork. There's power in unity. That's why, you know, in the old days when they were having horse-driven buggies, you got one horse, it's a certain amount of power. You put two horses together, it multiplies the power. You put four horses together, four horsepower, right? This is where we got the idea for the power behind the car. When we come together, Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I want to tell you, when we come together, there's power. The victory necessitates unity. The victory necessitates unity. If you want to be able to stand against the gates of hell, you're going to need some brothers and sisters to stand with you. If you're going to try to take something down that's big, you need to take an entourage with you. The gates of hell will not prevail against the people of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so Jesus reinforces this concept, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. I want you to think of when we're coming against the gates of hell together in unity, God is with us. He's in the midst of us, Jesus said. There I am in the midst of you. Paul said it this way in Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Can I say that again? This is what Paul said. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. This is what a lot of times our culture doesn't understand. Some Christians that they're not a part of a body, they don't understand. Paul said, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There is power in unity. There is power. There's strength in numbers. The victory necessitates unity. There's power there. God wants us to understand that. God wants us to lock arms and be unified and to build His kingdom together. Even when we don't see things exactly the same way, can we be unified? If we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power in the teachings that He gave, then we can conquer the enemy together. I see a beautiful spirit rising in God's people that are overlooking some doctrinal differences and saying, hey, let's work together. Let's help. Let's win some people to God. Let's serve our city together. There's power in unity when God's people, when the body of Christ comes together. God wants unity. The devil wants disunity. God wants community. The devil wants individuality. God wants community. The devil wants individuality. Think about our culture and how we celebrate, the individualism. But when God is saying, I want to bring you together, I want you to be like Christ. So many times we get so focused on, well, this is me. This is my unique value that I add. Well, first let's focus on how to be like Christ. Then we can figure the other stuff out, okay? We'll figure out your specific assignment later. First, let's work on being like Christ. And in that way, we should look like brothers and sisters because we all have a common DNA. It's the spiritual DNA of Jesus Christ. Amen? So Psalm 33 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe, as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. Where does God bestow His blessing? When God's people live together in unity. When God's people work together in unity, there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. I am so happy to be a part of the family of God. God wants us to understand the purpose of the church. You need to understand it. I need to understand it. We need to understand it because let me tell you something. The gates of hell are fighting against the church. Culture is fighting against the church. Many times you can hear voices on social media fighting against the church. Many times movies are produced, TV shows are produced fighting against the church. God wants us to understand the purpose of His church. There is protection in community. There is victory in community. There's danger in doing it alone, but there's power in unity. There's safety in unity. And God has promised that His church will prevail. Let's pray together today. God, thank You for giving us the church, that we can come together, we can be called by Your name, we can stand in faith, not alone, but we can stand in faith together as a family, a brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church, unified, preparing ourselves for your return. God, help us to catch the vision of the church. Not just show up on Sundays, but be the church. Not play church, be the church. Jesus, help us to understand the vision that you gave, the vision of building your church upon the revelation of you being the Messiah, the Son of God. God, I thank you for each and every person that's here. God, thank you for what you're doing, for how you're bringing together a people. That is always your heart, to bring people together, not to isolate, not to divide, but to bring people together, people of faith, maybe from different backgrounds, maybe from different thought processes, but people that can agree on the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, that He is the Redeemer of mankind. God, let us be unified under the banner of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done, how you set an example, how you lived a blameless life, how you showed us how to follow in your footsteps. And as heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be in my faith walk with Jesus. I just haven't really surrendered everything that I need to surrender to really follow Him. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. If you say, I've kind of drifted in my faith walk and I need to reconnect with Jesus today. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. If you say, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if I've ever really committed my life to Jesus. If that's you, I want to pray for you. If either of those are you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. Amen. There's something about saying, I'm going to reconnect with Jesus, or I'm going to commit to Jesus for the first time. If that's you, slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. And if you slipped up your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this too. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for my failures, for my shortcomings. Jesus, forgive me. And Jesus, I'm sorry for the times I failed, for the times I did the wrong thing, for the times I did the opposite of what you wanted me to do. Apply your perfect work of the cross to my life. Wipe away my sins. Give me a fresh start. And Jesus, I commit to you today. I want you to be the leader, and I will follow. Give me the strength to follow your commands. Give me the wisdom to walk this out. Help me live a life that pleases the Father. In Jesus' name, everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.